Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one's ever injured in an accident, you know exactly who to call. Mokarum Injury Lawyers. Also, if you listen to the show, we appreciate it. Any way that you listen, we greatly appreciate it. Because Houston, we love you, baby. On YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you watching. We appreciate you listening. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you stay dialed in. You know, shoot Ron a little emoji or something on that message over there if you'd like to. AM, FM dial, we greatly appreciate it. All the old school folks on that AM dial, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. But guess what, y'all? There is an app out there. Everybody's got one in smartphones. Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app. Keep it on your hip. And like Sean Pendergast, he mentioned a little earlier, they had the owners, Cal and Hannah McNair, on their show late in the show this morning, so I'm guessing that's around at 9:30 and 9:30 segment. And you can go back, use that rewind feature, and catch up on that interview right there. Tyler Milner, he podcasts every segment individually that we have every day from 2 to 6. That right there is on the Odyssey app as well. And you never know what kind of giveaway, what kind of event we're having on the Odyssey app as well. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app and keep us on your hip if you don't mind. The Texans, they wrap up the phase of camp that is the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Get the guys out of Texas, go up to the Greenbrier and get a little cooler temp so you don't have to fight the temperature every day, and be aware of the temperature as you prepare and as you get practice. And
that sure was nice of them.
That was nice of them. I mean, here they've got they've got all the waters they want. They got all the wet towels they want. They got the cool room. They got everything. But if you need to escape it, hey, escape it and go up to West Virginia. They did that. They had, for all intents and purposes, a great run of four practices up there. And today was the last of the four. And I think what highlights today's practice, y'all, is that there has been an injury, a major injury for the Houston Texans. Obviously a starter, CJ Gardner-Johnson, on the defensive side of the football, safety, kind of a hybrid defensive back, if you will, a guy that came in here with Super Bowl with a Super Bowl resume, and he's that caliber player that has that experience and has had that level of success. He is a big time communicator, mouthpiece on the defense, whether it's communicating the scheme or it's getting guys right and kind of setting the tone. He was a big, big factor in what the Texans were going to rely on to take this team to the next level. You got to be better than 10 wins. You got to be better than the second round. How are you going to do that? You're going to bring guys like CJ Gardner-Johnson in, probably the number one acquisition this offseason as it relates to taking that next step for the Texans. He goes down with what appears to be a serious lower leg injury. He was carted off. He never moved from the spot that the injury happened. He needed assistance getting from the cart into the facility. So CJ Gardner-Johnson, Ron, this is a tough loss in one of a handful of all-out scrimmage practice type full go practices that they have. They only have a handful of those. It was a costly one today.
Yeah, it is. We talked about it earlier, probably their number one, him or Christian Kirk, their number one offseason player that they were able to bring in. And he was a lot of times the voice of the defense we started to hear from there. And it's weird, going into the year, we kind of thought like that area of their team may be one of the strongest areas of their team. But damn, since he got hurt, boy, it does look a little like, all right, Jimmy Ward is hurt and has the legal issues that Sean talked about. Are the young guys ready? Do you really want to move Jalen Petrie off of the spot that you played him in and where he seems to have thrived? And so now I don't think you have to go crazy, and I don't think this is one of the injuries that potentially takes you out or anything, but I do think they got to get creative and figure out exactly what it is they want to do with the loss of Gardner.
Yeah, I think for me, it's more the loss of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. To me, it's more about scheme. Like, he is one of those weapons that allows you to do multiple things. He's a veteran, so he can execute multiple different things. You don't worry about it. You trust it. And so for me, it's the player's great. He was a really good player. They got a lot of really good players over there. They got a lot of really good players in the secondary. But that veteran that you could trust to do the multiple things that they wanted to do defensively, I think that's more of what he brought to the table than just being this elite player, if you will. It was more about what he allowed you to do, I think, schematically. The next question is D'Amico Ryans. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the injury of C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Of course, it's heartbreaking when you see a guy go down on the field like that and doesn't get up quickly. So I'm always, nervous as a head coach anytime I see anybody hit the ground. It's tough to watch. So we'll see, we'll evaluate CJ, see where he is, but no update at this time.
Well, here's my question immediately after discussing the injuries. How do the Texans backfill this injury on the depth chart? Is it a corner? Is it a nickel? Is it a safety that's already in the building? I think that's the route you go. Right now at the safety position on the depth chart is going to be MJ Stewart. I don't know if MJ Stewart on August the 7th is the guy that you say, yep, that's the guy that we're going to start the season with. There's guys like Miles Bryant. There's guys like Jalen Petrie, these hybrid type of players that could easily bump back and play that safety role. And then guys like Kamari Lassiter and the Jalen Smith kid out of USC, again, Miles Bryant, that can play corner, nickel, and safety. So I think you backfill from within, and maybe you switch some things up that you're doing from within. Other than MJ Stewart, I think Miles Bryant is probably the guy that they would look to. Here is D'Amico Ryans talking about Miles Bryant, a name that you should probably get to know if you don't already know him. Here's the head coach talking a little about him.
Miles he shows up every day. Miles, he does a lot for us. He's a utility guy. He can play on the outside at corner, nickel, safety, moves around a lot of positions. Saw a really nice punt return from him today. He's just all over the place. Smart player I love to work with him because he's very smart. You can put him anywhere, and he knows every position on the defense. So very thankful to have Miles, with us here. He's a very valuable piece of what we're doing.
He's a guy that I would imagine they quote-unquote backfield with. Like I said, you got Kamari Lassiter. You got a rookie that you like that you drafted in the third round. You got Jalen Petrie who can jump around. And you talk about versatility. Those guys all have it, and you're getting a top-tier player right there. These are guys that aren't going to be on the street at any point in time. And so the alternative is trying to find a player that's on the street that is a starter level. That ain't going to happen. So I think the backfield happens from within.
And I also think, like, obviously, again, he is a player that has a chance to really have added to this defense if he's out for the year.
Yeah.
Had a chance to really add to this defense. But if you're thinking of positions on the defense that maybe you don't have to be great at, if you're thinking about positions on the defense where maybe there's some things that can be hidden a little bit, that's a position, Clint, where it's you can hide some things. I think D'Amico will be able to. You said it earlier. I mean, they've not had. It's not like they've had just Pro Bowl safeties rolling up and down this bad boy. I think he can figure out what he needs to figure out with the MJ Stewards, the guys they have here, because if this is a defensive end, this is a corner, a position where, hey, it's hard to hide, and you really got to have that. That's one thing. But I do think at least this is a position that he can be creative and get by with.
Yeah, we've seen D'Amico Ryans, the X factor that he is on the defensive side of the football, overcome significantly bigger and more injuries than this in the secondary. I said it a little earlier. I think there's five defensive players on this team. I think there's probably three offensive players on this team that really shift what you're doing or what you plan on doing if they were to get injured. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I don't think, is one of those guys. He is going to be tough to replace, though. We'll see how the Texans get that accomplished. We'll see how bad the injury is, and then we'll see how they get that accomplished moving forward as well. Another takeaway from today's practice, we've discussed it, the O-line rotation. Ron, it seems like the further we get away from the first day of camp, the more we fall into the O-line rotation that we expected to take place I remember after the first day of camp, we were like, man, you know, you got some competition at center, and you got some competition at right tackle, and boy, but it seems like they're pretty set. Yeah, together. Yeah. Well, that is a thing of yesterday. I mean, it seems like there is a lot of rotation. Now, I will chalk this up to, at this point, Thursday physical practice before a travel day and a preseason game, they've got to get guys ready to play four quarters. Juice Scruggs played some center today. Doesn't surprise me. They need centers to play, multiple centers to play four quarters. Ed Ingram played some first string guard today. That doesn't surprise me. I doubt Lakin Tomlinson plays. Ed Ingram's probably going to get a lot of run, and they need him to be able to do that. I think today there was also Jarrett Patterson played a little guard alongside Juice Scruggs. They don't have enough guards with Tytus Howard probably not going to play much, and Lakin Tomlinson probably not going to play. They got to play four quarters. So how are you going to do that? Jarrett Patterson is probably going to be asked to play guard. This is smart, the rotation today. Make sure you get all these guys some run in the system, in live action, before at multiple positions before asking them to do it in a game on Saturday. I know it's a preseason game, but you got to give these guys at least a puncher's chance to get out there. So, Ron, the O-line rotation didn't surprise me today. Really, really didn't surprise me all year long, but damn sure didn't surprise me today.
Yeah, and I think also the Cam Robinson injury also, I think, shifts a lot of this stuff too, especially with the ones. Like, we clearly, the Cam Robinson injury made three different spots moved, right? So Tytus hasn't been playing the position they planned for him to play guard. Yep. So they've been doing a switch between Ed and Juice right there to go along with all of the stuff you're saying, as we will get a chance to see exactly who will play. But I think the Cam Robinson injury is a big piece of that too.
Yep. Xavier Hutchinson was a huge bright spot today at practice. I mean, he is one of those guys you just can't deny. I mean, as much as you want to push him to the bottom of the wide receiver room, and you want to push him to a spot and where, man, maybe there's not a roster spot for him. Every opportunity he gets, he shows up and shows out. Today, Xavier Hutchinson had a UJ. Again, today was a full pad, full contact scrimmage type scenario with the offense getting a ton of run. CJ Stroud got a bunch of reps. Davis Mills got a bunch of reps. Xavier Hutchinson, slant from CJ Stroud early on for a big gain, 20 plus yards. Xavier Hutchinson, deep crosser on a boot action from Davis Mills, touchdown, 30 plus yards. Some kind of little zig route in a red zone type of scenario, touchdown from CJ Stroud to Xavier Hutchinson. This is a guy that, whether it's playoffs and there's a bunch of injuries and he's called upon to go out and make a play, or it's preseason and he's in there with the four-string quarterback, the ball finds him. He finds a way to make plays. He plays damn near every special teams. Xavier Hutchinson, Ron, when it comes down to wide receiver 3 through 6 or 7, when we're talking playing time, forget the roster, when we're talking playing time, Xavier Hutchinson is making a huge push to get run early and often. If either of those rookies slip up and maybe they don't understand the playbook quite well enough to go, he is putting himself in position and making enough plays, Ron, where Hutch is going to get that. He's going to get that run when given the opportunity.
Yeah, man, he refuses to allowed to be from a football roster prospect killed. Like, he is going to stay there, and just when you think like he's expendable or he's on the chopping block, he'll put together a week, he'll put together preseason games, and then when you look and say, oh man, he's doing that, and of the receivers we have, he's the guy that's going to do all the stuff in which Frank Ross needs him on special teams. Yeah. Like, so I heard D'Amico talking about Miles Bryant, as we played earlier, says he does a little bit of everything. So does Xavier Hutchinson across offense and defense. But he is a guy that is flat in his first 2 years, has been reliable, has been there at the end, he's been healthy, and he has found his way into being on the field in major, major spots in ways that we never really anticipated him before the season started. Guys that were playing in the Hall of Fame game generally weren't on the field in the playoff games. And that was what he was doing. Yep. And he did. And he's done it again this past week. He's had a great week of practice.
Crazy to think we're going to have three Iowa State Cyclone wide receivers on this roster, on this Texans roster, in the wide receiver room. That is wild. One more thing from today's practice. They did have a lot of run game going on today. There was no Nick Chubb. There's obviously no Damian Pierce, who was obviously not in pads again today. And then there's no Joe Mixon, who is injured. And there was a ton of Dari Agunbowale. And Ron, I'm going to be honest with you on this one. I don't need to see Dari Agunbowale.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to.
Well, I'm not hating on Dari, by the way. I understand, I don't want Dari Agunbowale getting a bunch of touches in an opening season game. I'm not talking about preseason. I'm talking about week one. So that is one point to be made. But even with that said, we know who Dari Agunbowale is. I think this is a huge opportunity Saturday to find out more about Jawar Jordan, Taylor, obviously Woody Marks. You got British Brooks. You got a lot of dudes over there that need this run, and we need to find out who they are. First and foremost, by the way, I think it's Woody Marks, and I think he gets a lot of run. But it seemed like Dari got a ton of run today, and you know, I just don't need to see Dari a whole hell of a lot
when
on
they
on
trust
Saturday.
The most.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, with when you have the top three guys out, he's the one that they trust the most right now. So we'll see. Jawar Jordan, obviously, has been getting talked up a lot, too. Woody Marks as well, so hopefully we'll see all three of them as they continue to roll through. All right, coming up, are you still in the waiting game? Are you still in the belief that Yordan Alvarez is coming back, or have you moved on from him? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Don does not mind facing lefties as he crushes one to right. On one hop to George Springer. Here comes DeZenzo. Here comes the throw. DeZenzo is safe. RBI single for Yordan, and the Astros lead 5-0.
Those are the two hand injury guys right there. Zach DeZenzo scoring.
Grab my strong hand.
Then progressing with his hand for – he's working on months as well. And then Yordan Alvarez, who we have not seen in 97 days. Not seen in 97 days. He's had multiple setbacks on the hand issues, been shut down multiple times. I'm wondering where people are on this because
– Where art thou?
I have reached the position, fellas, where I am hopeful that we see Yordan Alvarez. I am hopeful that he is there. And I damn near was hoping that Dana Brown would approach it in this manner. It's more of a hope thing, and as Clint has said in the past about other players, a luxury thing. I'm more hopeful. I've gotten to a point where I don't have the expectation. I expect that Jeremy Pena to be back at some point, right? I'm to a point now where I'm like, hey, man, I'm just preparing my mind that the Astros are going without Yordan Alvarez. And it would be a pleasant surprise if he makes it back, because I understand it's just they got 47 ball games left, Clint, and hopefully he can come back. There are no real signs that he's anywhere close to coming back. At least when I say no signs of, hey, he went up against live pitching, or he was just did a rehab start, you know, like. Jeremy Pena went and played two games in Sugar Land. You know, you feel like, all right, he's getting close. Every time he just has a time where he hits, you know, batting practice pitching, you know, there's been somewhat of a setback. So for me, Clint, I have reached the point where I'm approaching Yordan Alvarez as I hope he comes back. I won't put myself to expect it. I'm preparing to go without him. And it is a luxury and a pleasant addition if he's on this team.
Yeah, look, the luxury Lance thing for me was kind of two-pronged. One was the game of hoping he comes back, the anticipation, and he doesn't. And he comes, no, he doesn't. He's throwing on flat ground, all these different reports. And along the lines of, like, how I felt like the team should view him of, like, hey, man, we got to move forward and operate as if, hey, man, we got to build a starting rotation. And if he, you know, anticipating him not coming back, and then if he does, he's just a luxury. I look at Yordan Alvarez, and I'm still at a point right now to where, you know, you don't change anything about the way you approach this thing. Now, adding another bat would not have been something that I frowned upon, by the way. But the thought is that Yordan Alvarez for me is not luxury at this point. Yordan Alvarez for me at this point in time is an absolute necessity.
You still have an expectation that he is going to come back.
Absolutely, yes. He is going to come back. He is much needed. This is a significantly different team without him, obviously. And I think the chances to make a run to a World Series are significantly lower without Yordan Alvarez. I didn't feel any of that necessarily about Lance McCullers at any point in time since, you know, over the last 1,000-plus days. So, he was truly just a luxury that you might stumble into late in the season. Yordan is not there. This has got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It gives them their absolute best chance. Ruffalo said he just it's over. They cannot win it.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
If he gets there,
I'm faded as hell right now.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm flirting with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player. He's a special player, and that's why it has been that way. I don't know. I am starting to feel like last year, fellas, like I was getting annoyed with how long the Kyle Tucker thing was happening, but I did feel like at some point, like, all right, he's going to come back. Like, there is
weak ass shins.
Them weak shins. Anyway, of a bruise or a fracture, what we found out, you would think, like, there's a time that this heals. For me, I am still wondering if this is a time thing or if this is a you need surgery thing is or you need to have something more than just time or, you know, to heal this, and that if he comes back or he tries to push it to a space of where they would need him, that it may get re-injured. That's just my only thing is, and clearly, Clint, Dana Brown did not operate as if Yordan wasn't coming back, right? Or I think he'd have made a bigger move than just Carlos, you know, Correa in the offseason, or at least would have tried to make a bigger move of a more power guy. So he's not operating that way. But like I don't think any of us at all would be surprised if Yordan doesn't play again this year.
I will be.
You will be surprised?
I told y'all a month ago.
Will you be surprised that if he doesn't play this year? I'm hopeful.
Oh, I will not be, especially now today at this point. No, I will not be surprised. But I told y'all last month I'd be surprised if we saw him for October.
Yeah, I would.
Well, I know you've said CJ's going to be on the field playing in L.A. before he gets on the field.
Gardner Johnson?
No. Well, no. It's too soon for that, man.
Oh, I remember what you were referencing. I thought you were saying that. And I was about to be like, "Damn, bro, like chill out." I misunderstood.
I thought you were taking CJ Gardner Johnson.
Damn, too many CJs. No, that was my bad. But I was about to be like, "Damn, Rod."
Yeah, I am hoping. I am hoping like hell because I love watching him play. I love watching play in the postseason. And yeah, I think it is different. I still think he's their best player. And Lance has never been their best player.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, look, I when you talk about expecting him to play, I mean, we've got a hand issue. We've got 60 and 80% healed, you know, which look, I know it's laughable at this point, but I don't think they just pulled that out of their ass. Like I do think that came from some degree. Now he's still having pain. Yeah. That 20% that's remaining, there's still a pain there. We just watched a guy pitch last night that broke his freaking hand getting hit by a line shot off of a bat, like with a broken hand. Like I mean, to think that Yordan Alvarez with this back and forth thing with his hand, it keeps him out the entire season. Yeah, that would be disappointing for me. I think we see Yordan Alvarez. And I think we see a really, really solid version of Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, I hope so. I at this point, Clint, I would almost feel better if it was some sort of a break.
I mean, it's got to be some level of break or hairline fracture or something in that bone in his right hand.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, but I guess, like, but the, I don't know, maybe Spencer have surgery? Maybe he did.
I mean, so I don't know. Look, when I hear 60% healed, 80% healed, that's not a, hey, your hamstring is 60 or 80% healed. Like, that's got to be some level of fracture or some level of crack or something that you can see it's healing.
Yeah, well.
Right?
Yeah, it took him a while to see it first. Yeah.
I don't think he had surgery.
Yeah, I don't think he had surgery. Like, yeah, because that was just it's a fracture and it's going to heal.
After, of course, they searched and finally found it after a few weeks, that fracture.
Yeah.
Probably.
Those guys were, but
rumors say.
No, man, I don't know what. 97 days, working on 100 days. Hopefully he starts to make some steps and we start to hear him facing live pitching and not just hear him face live pitching, but then he'd be all right after he faces live pitching and hopefully he gets back. But well, I almost think they got to operate as if he may not make it. All right. Coming up, we'll get you caught up on the big story of the day. That is CJ Gardner-Johnson. He's been he was carted off earlier today with an apparent knee injury. How big of a hit is this to the Texans? How big of a hit is this? Is this something that is maybe a huge shift for this defense, or something that is more an emotional thing, not necessarily an on the field thing? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Story of the day, CJ Gardner-Johnson. Injured, and it did not look good. It looked like a serious injury. We had Sean Pendergast. He was there live in West Virginia, and he spoke and gave his account of what he saw the whole way in. He was on with us about an hour ago. If you missed it, you want to check that out, 340 on the Odyssey app. Check that out, podcast page as well, and hear what he had to say about that situation. If you are just now hearing us, it looks like an apparent knee injury with C.J. Gardner-Johnson as he was trying to make a tackle on John Metchie, and he injured himself, was on the ground, pounding the floor on his stomach when it first happened, and was unable to put any weight on it, any weight at all, and was put on the cart. As Sean said, it was about a 5-minute situation, and then they drove him on the cart to the big facility that they took him into for further evaluation, and he still was unable to put any weight on it. Needed help to get out of the cart, according to Sean Pendergast, and then needed help to walk or go the rest of the way as he was putting his arm around other members of the training staff to get into the building. So nothing new to report. Last thing we heard was from Aaron Wilson that he would have to get an MRI done, and then they will figure out further news once we get that. So that is the latest there, Clint. And I think immediately first, it goes out to the player and a guy like that who is coming off of a big year, won the Super Bowl with the Eagles, coming here, was having a really good camp, seemed to be really meshing well with the team, and bam, just in a split second, potentially a serious injury occurs to him. So you hope he is good, and that's the first thing. The second part of that, Clint, is now you look at it is you look at C.J. Gardner-Johnson, how big of a hit is this? How much does this hurt? Coming from Black Greg on the text line, Clint, the injury to C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to hurt. He is the one guy on the defense I trusted to line up with guys like Travis Kelce or keep Lamar from breaking big runs.
Yeah, I think I view this from the lens of winning more than 10 games in a regular season. I view this through the lens of your defense being a top three defense in the league and being the reason that you win more than 10 games. And not only win more than 10 games in a regular season, but you also have a chance to go deeper than the second round of the playoffs. And you have a chance to to beat teams that have players like what Black Greg said, Travis Kelce, those types of guys, Lamar Jackson, even teams when you look around with Josh Allen in Buffalo, your top teams in this league, look at it however you'd like. Kansas City's going to have some dudes other than Travis Kelce that are hell in space. They always have those guys. They find those guys. They use them effectively. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a guy that gives you a better chance against those guys, no doubt about it. And so that's where this thing hurts. I think on the field it hurts when now schematically you've got to do some different things because you don't have an experienced veteran that's a Swiss Army knife at the safety position. You don't have that. And then the other part of it is what you mentioned first is this is a Super Bowl winning safety in this league. There's a certain way that those guys typically take the field, the standard they set, the way they work, the mentality they have, and they have an ability to raise others on a daily basis up to their standard and their level. You lose that, and that's going to be painful as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough injury. I feel like to me, Clint, it's more not to say not on the field, right? As you've explained, but it feels like the loss is bigger than more from an emotional, like leadership, aggressive, like that element, his personality element on the field than it is. Filling the void. Maybe you don't have anybody that can fill the void like him, but I don't think this is one of those, Clint, where it's like, oh my God, like they got to trade something. They got to make something happen. They got to make something shake. Or as you said, I believe earlier, this is going to have to change the way they approach defense. I don't think it is that case. I think they got to shift some things. They got to do some different things and maybe have some combinations of guys that maybe they didn't plan on doing, but I don't think this is a killer to them right now.
Well, no, look, I think there's five guys on this defense, and if they get injured, it affects the way you play defense.
Who are those five? I'm just curious.
Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, both of your corners, and I think Kalen Bullock is one of them as well.
Okay.
I think those five guys right there changed the way you play defense. There's a lot of things that you do defensively that you feel really good about because you got Kalen Bullock, fast, long, ball hawk in center field. You don't have that guy. One, you don't have another guy remotely close behind him, and that is a unique skill set. That is a unique instinct. This doesn't affect your style like that. I think the other four guys I mentioned speak for themselves. This is not that level of injury, but it is – again, in a sense, he is no doubt about it, a leader. You can say one of the top leaders. Look at the defense, man. Derek Stingley Jr. is not going to be the vocal leader ever in a clubhouse. He's not that guy. Danielle Hunter is on the quiet side. Will Anderson is a very vocal guy that I think is the thermometer in the room. He sets the temp, baby. But other than him, there's really
Petrie's probably a voice.
Yeah, Petrie is. Aziz is. I mean, these guys are leaders, but I'm talking about when I speak, I just want a Super Bowl. When I speak, maybe everybody listens kind of deal. He carries that kind of power. I think Aziz may at that middle linebacker position, but nonetheless, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of those guys with that level of move the needle leadership, and you're losing that.
No, I agree. I don't know. See, Ocho says, as he texts in, Ocho joins through here, 713-572-4610. You can text in as well. Ron, the Texans have to make a trade if Gardner is out, man. They just can't go back to Petrie as his replacement. I don't necessarily believe that Jalen Petrie would go into the C.J. Gardner-Johnson role exclusively. I think there may be some times where he does, but I don't think that is the potential answer of where the replacement would be. I think we'll see what happens with Jimmy Ward. There's an option there. I think MJ Stewart obviously is the one who had stepped in immediately, and I don't think he's going to kill you. I think MJ Stewart would be very solid. in that position. And when you got guys like Kalen Bullock and you got the corners you have, I think he can play in a solid way that you'll be fine, right? Maybe you're not allowed to do the things that maybe you wanted to do with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and shift things and play certain guys at certain spaces to kind of create a disguise or something that you want to do. But I think you can still play solid. And I think you can MJ Stewart this thing and then potentially see where a Jalen Reed is midway through the season if he's able to take on a bigger role in that. I don't necessarily think you have to go out and go get somebody. I don't think it's that type of move.
Yeah, look, I don't think going out and getting anybody, even if you wanted to, I don't think it's a possibility. We're not talking about a safety here. If you're just looking for a safety, MJ Stewart's been fine. And D'Amico Ryans has done more with less before. It's not about a position. You're not going to replace C.J. Gardner-Johnson by pulling somebody off the streets. I'd be shocked if you're able to replace a C.J. Gardner-Johnson type of player after all teams cut down to, at that final cut date, right? I just don't think those guys are going to be walking the streets, and every team that has one is going to covet them and keep them. There's no way. This is a backfield with guys that are already here, guys that you already feel strongly about. Miles Bryant is one of them that can play corner, nickel, or safety. I think Jalen Petrie can play nickel or safety. I think when you look at Kamari Lassiter, he can play corner or nickel, or hell, I bet you they didn't trust him to play safety. Jalen Smith kid out of USC is a corner that can also play nickel. They got plenty of guys that they really like that they could move in and play that position. The key is, I just think it's going to affect more than just the safety position, which I don't think is a problem. I think it's a good thing in a sense of the roster, the defensive roster that they've built. And so they've got options. I just don't, this is more about a Super Bowl caliber player on and off the field that was in line to help this team take the next big step. Not about, boy, what are we going to do game to game, day to day?
Yeah, this is an injury to me, and this is why I don't think you have to go out and go get somebody. This is not an injury to me that
Even if you prevents, wanted to, there's not, it doesn't do any good. You're not going to go get a guy that's you're going to play
Justin
in as
Simmons
a starter.
Is the name that people keep running around, but still, to me, I don't think that this is an injury that takes them from being a top five defense.
I think they're
still a great defense. Of those five guys that you talked about that are more of the, hey, these are guys that changes things, maybe one of those, but I don't think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a guy that makes them. He was an upgrade over Eric Murray last year,
yeah,
who was fine, who I think MJ Stewart could play at an Eric Murray level.
Mm, agreed.
And they were a good defense, and I don't think that was the move that said they're going to be, a top defense.
Well, you mentioned the low-hanging fruit here is Jimmy Ward. If whatever's going on off the legal issues off the field, if he can get those, which
and the foot.
Sean Pendergast made a great point earlier. If he is around the team and at practice and on the cart and still involved, then clearly D'Amico Ryans feels like this is going to get resolved sooner rather than later.
And D'Amico saying things like, I know him, I know him, you know what I mean?
So that is the quick way is, boy, you get Ward back, then all of a sudden you're cooking with grease and we're on to something here. Otherwise, I think you're going to have to shuffle the deck a bit of guys you already have in-house.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue a little 5 o'clock fire, we'll tell you the rest of the news and notes that happen up in West Virginia as they prepare for their first preseason game coming up on Saturday. We'll let you know about that. Looking at the Astros as they dropped the finale with the Marlins. They've got a big series coming up in New York. And more NFL news. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was not the only major starter around the league that was carted off. Another AFC potential playoff team has one of their top players carted off today. We'll let you know all of that coming up next.